on a Memorial Day. Did that come through? I guess I should turn my headset up so I can hear. On a Memorial Day weekend, if you've got somebody you'd like to memorize or memorialize for this Memorial Day weekend, you're always welcome to do that here at Rosie on the House. And as always, there's a big Memorial Day event going on at Sanderson Ford. We'll get to that later. If you are in a car buying mood this weekend, or that was on your list, you should probably move it to today. Sanderson Ford is always closed on Sunday, and they're closed on Monday for Memorial Day. They take it off. It's one of the few days during the week. I mean, they're always closed on Sunday, but there are a few special holiday events that they're closed to during the week, and Memorial Day is one of them. So make sure you get that on your list today. We'll be talking about it a little bit more. But we're here for you, the Arizona homeowner and gardener, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Walt, welcome to the program.
Yes, I had a couple comments. First of all, I'm kind of worried about this drought. There's only been one day with rain since Christmas. And then prior to mid-November, there was a 70-day dry spell. I'm kind of worried about that. I've lived in the Valley for 40 years, moving here from Boston. But I have a question about the name of a tree. I realize the only definite answer is I could bring a branch in, but there's this tree growing, several trees growing at a business in my neighborhood, and the leaves are just now coming out. And they, when they do blossom, they have a yellow cluster. It's at a business on Camelback. And I thought the trees were dead, but now the leaves are coming out. They're in a round shape. I mean, the trees are shaped round, and they're maybe 12 feet tall. And the trunk may be 5 inches thick or 4 inches thick. I just don't know the name of them. It's not a desert tree.
Yeah, my guess is it's a tababuia. And they kind of do that, you know, orchid trees, tababuias, silk floss, cherezias. They kind of go through a period when they're right before or during their blossoming period, they'll lose all their leaves, they'll bloom, and then they'll put on new foliage again. And there are a few of those around. They're pretty tropical. They can be a little bit touchy to cold. But that's without seeing it with the yellow flower. That's going to be my guess.
We appreciate the call. Hope that helps you identify it. And you're absolutely correct. You can, if it's a business, they probably wouldn't appreciate you hacking off a branch to take
no,
it into a nursery.
No, but I bet you could go in and ask them.
You could. And take a picture as well and bring it into your local nursery, help identify it. You were mentioning during the break that there's a shortage on trees in the nursery, and that what if you took a picture of this, takes it in, and, you know, or obviously it wasn't a mulberry, but somebody identifies that, goes in, and that's not even a tree that's sold anymore. Well, you're pretty much stuck at that point.
Well,
time,
you know,
to pick out a new tree.
Maybe we can find something else that has yellow blossoms, like a Palo Verde or a Tipu, or, you know, or something like that.
Is there something? Can you, like, special order trees?
I mean, well, you can.
Yeah.
You
know, if somebody walks in and says, you know, I want this particular tree, and you don't have it, can you look for it and bring one in?
Sometimes
specimen kind?
Or you have to wait until you have enough
volume.
Accumulated orders to bring a load in, and then if they have it. But yeah, we special order things for people all the time.
Interesting.
If we can find them. And the reason there's a shortage, especially on trees, is, you know, during the peak of the downturn, you know, the big growing nurseries around the country, this is all over the country, this isn't just Arizona, you know, eventually you either keep moving that tree up into a bigger size container, or you throw it away. It's expensive to keep watering and feeding and trimming and staking. And, you know, if there's no prospect of selling that tree, and nurseries around the whole country threw millions of trees away. And so we have a big void. And you just don't, you could put on three shifts of people growing, planting up trees, but they only grow so fast.
Right.
So.
And then if you did do that, by a couple of years, you're going to have an oversupply now.
Right. So and how many do you plant? I mean, who knows what the economy is going to do? So,
what the demand is going to be, yeah.
So there's a big gap out there of trees, and, you know, that, you know, we're doing the best we can. But, you know, it's one of those things. You might have two or three options in mind when you go looking for a tree as opposed to being stuck on one thing.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're also talking vegetable gardens. It's still not too late to plant a few varieties. If you like eggplant, you have to like eggplant.
And I do. I love eggplant. Eggplant Parmesan's awesome. Okra likes the heat. Malabar spinach. It's a vining, hot weather type. Use it like spinach. It's a green leafy vegetable. Edamame, the edible soybean, you know, you can grow that. Probably still do some melons and cucumbers. Not too late. Sweet potatoes, if you got plenty of room, they take up lots of room.
But they take up a lot of room, and that's a pretty vine, too.
It is. You know, it's kind of a neat cover crop for the summer. If your garden, once your garden kind of poops out late June and July, you know, plant some sweet potatoes and just let it, if nothing else, it keeps the weeds down and covers the ground and yeah, and you end up with a few sweet potatoes come fall. So,
and if you do, you have to be ready to dig. It's not something that's easy to harvest as say a tomato or a cucumber. You gotta get down there and get them from under the soil.
Right. Yep.
Which the hardest part for me when we did it last year was digging it out without cutting it in half.
Well, that's right, and that's why that generally when they harvested potatoes manually in the old days, they used a fork. So you only cut a few things instead of a whole shovel where it cut the whole, you know, so if you use a spading fork or a digging fork and get underneath them and pull them out. But yeah, I had some and almost all of the ones I dug up were sliced.
I'll have to take.
Which means you got to eat them pretty quick.
Well, you can scallop potatoes. Is that what you're growing then?
Sweet potato fries. Yeah.
I'll have to take your advice. I'll use a fork, but then wet it like we were talking earlier. It's very
soften it up.
Easy digging. So then I could actually use a fork. You can't use a fork when it's on your dry desert soil. You'd break your 100 forks trying to get a potato out of the ground.
You know, a digging fork has a wide, it's not like a pitch or a hay fork. So it's got a wide blade. Each, you know, and it may only have four fingers, I guess, for lack of a, tines, I guess would be the way. And the tines are wide. And then they come to a point so that, you know, you can actually step on it like a shovel. They're stiff and strong. You can actually dig with them as opposed to a manure fork or a hay fork that you can't really do that with.
Now, as you're going around the garden, have you guys ever run into a situation where you get to the one side of your property where you're going to be doing your work and you forgot your clippers, or you've got a shovel and you need a bigger one, or you decide you need a rake, so you got to go back and get it, and then you come back and you get thirsty, so you walk back.
Is there any other way to do a project?
No, I can't say it's ever happened to me. Nope, never been there.
You know, it happened to somebody enough that they put together the little burrow. This is a wheelbarrow caddy. Yeah. It's a tray that goes on top of your wheelbarrow. It's got a spot for your cup holder.
Yeah.
It's got hooks on both sides so you can put a rake on one side, a shovel on the other.
Oh, Jennifer,
that's the best part of all, because you ever have it laying across the handles and you try to walk through the doorway and hit it all cockeyed and everything goes flying. This thing is great. There's a couple of things from the hardware show that we're going to buy and test.
This is one of them?
This is one of them.
Cool.
That'd go pretty good across the front of my float tube when I'm fly fishing.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Place for your adult beverage.
I'm sure they have those too.
But you can look it up at Little Burrows. You got to include the S, littleburrows.com. We've got the direct link at rosieonthehouse.com. And if you don't have a wheelbarrow, there's another one. You've heard Mom talking about it for a while. It's a product she found. Wheels Barrows was there at the hardware show as well. One of the things that they had added, instead of picking up a wheelbarrow by two handles like you used to, and you got to hold your shoulders straight and everything, this actually is one piece molded together. Now, originally, that was all carved out of wood that was glued together. Well, they've made that handle now metal. So instead of actually picking it up, you push down, and it's a tripod wheelbarrow. It's got three wheels. And so you're pushing it on two wheels instead of trying to balance it on one. But you've still got your one in the front.
Oh.
So when you get there, you can set it down.
Well, and they've also improved the wheels. They found that out here in Arizona, there was a lot of flat tires.
They realize why the solid.
Yeah,
it's not. But it's got a line.
Oh, okay.
It is lined now.
But they are just fantastic. You can put everything in there.
Jennifer's holding up a picture.
Without
it, cool.
Can you put your burrow, the thing you just talked about before that, on that?
It's a standard wheelbarrow bucket.
So there you go.
You can put all your grandkids in here, and it won't tip.
And the whole framework is metal.
Yes.
Oh, that's great in the Arizona environment. You know, wood wheelbarrow frames, you know, don't last very long. That thing looks like it'll last forever.
Well, we've had it outside now for a year, and it doesn't show one ounce of wear.
Cool.
Speaking of regular bucket size, that was the first thing I said to him. I said, well, if it's that much easier to move it without the effort, you should have put a bigger bucket on it. I could get three times the work done. I said, you know what? We'll get there, Romy. This is the first phase. So we've already got plans to put in bigger buckets on it, but right now they made it standard to match everything else. And like you said, it the little burrow will go right on top of it.
Cool.
For your wheelbarrow caddy. A couple items you can find at rosieonthehouse.com, along with the weed zinger. Have you seen this crazy thing?
No.
It's a tool that it's a big, long metal stick. And at the end of it, it's got these four prongs. So you go over to the top of your weed and you put it, push down on it, and then you pull the handle, and these four prongs grab the root and twist it out. And as it twists, it cocks. And now you can fire it. You zing it.
I just don't get it.
Leave it to a Romero to find a weapon that will work in the garden.
Why don't you end up with seeds all over the yard, right? I just don't get it. Yeah. But it's for your, if you want your kids to weed and not complain, this is for you.
That's kind of like the
weed zinger.
Weed pollinator, huh?
How come I have a whole yard full of dandelions this year?
That looks like a weapon there.
It'll shoot it up to, they claim up to 6 feet on their brochure, but they actually had demos at the hardware store, and it was a 10-by-10-foot booth, and it was going beyond that. So
well, you could
I guess it just depends on the weight
of
your weed.
Do you see this picture? They have a wheelbarrow, and they put a trash bag, and they put a target on top of it, so
like
ideally
basketball.
It hits the thing and falls in.
You can put your wheelbarrow 6 feet
away. Gardening's supposed to be fun, right?
Saves
and
the
entertaining as well. Yeah.
And what can take the fun out of it a lot of times, it was when you get burrowing critters that come in and tear it up, leave nice mounds everywhere, or a nice soft spot for you to put your foot through while you're out there mowing. And that was something else that the National Hardware Store or show, Bonide, had their display out with Mole Max. It's a mole and vole repellent is the name of it. Obviously in Arizona, those aren't critters that we have, but this works on anything that burrows. Rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks if you're farther in the northern Arizona region. It comes in a couple different applications. We talked earlier about the granulars and the liquid. This comes as both. You could put it in a granular if you've got a large yard that you're trying to do. You just apply it 3 to 4 times a year depending on the infestation depth that you have. It also comes in quart size ready to spray or a built-in hose attachment if you've got a small backyard area that you can hit all with your garden hose. That's Bonide's Mole Max and Mole Max RX available in Arizona. If you're in Tucson, Mesquite Valley Growers for Prescott residents at Waters Garden Center. And for anyone traveling up to the White Mountains this weekend for your cabin getaway, you can find it at Christopher's Garden at Lakeside. That's Bonide's Mole Max and Vole Repellent.